a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Proudly brought to you by SRE.com.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
On your legacy home of BYU Sports,
KSL News Radio 102.7 FM
and 1160 AM.
What's up, Cougar fans, and welcome inside another edition of Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio. Championship Saturday in college football. BYU obviously not playing as they're not a member of the Big 12 Conference yet. That conference championship game is ongoing right now, and kind of a surprise as the number 9 Baylor Bears up 21-6 early in the third quarter to Oklahoma State. And we'll kind of touch on that one a little later as we get into BYU football talk and the chances of getting into a New Year's Six bowl game. It's just Matt Biamonte today. Mitch Harper, he took the day off. He spent some time with some family. Well-deserved. You know, Mitch grinds 24-7, 365, bringing you guys the best BYU coverage in the state. We love Mitch Harper, but every once in a while, he's got to take a step back, spend some time with some family. He's doing that today, so we wish him the best on a very special day in his family. So we miss you, Mitch, but we're happy that you're taking some time away to spend some time with family. So no Mitch Harper, just Matt Biamonte here for this first hour. And then at 1 p.m., we'll hand it over to pregame coverage of BYU basketball. They're on the road visiting Missouri State. That will come your way at 2 p.m. right here on KSL News Radio. Pregame begins at 1. But before that, we got plenty to talk about in the world of BYU. And 30 minutes from now, former BYU basketball coach, the best BYU basketball coach, Dave Rose. He's going to join us to talk about this basketball program, and there is so much to discuss there. So we'll get to that a little later in the program. BYU football, we'll get to that. And hey, BYU volleyball, they got a match tonight against the University of Utah, a rivalry rematch in the NCAA tournament down in Provo. That's big time. And then how could we not discuss an absolute momentous occasion for the BYU women's soccer team advancing to their first ever national championship game after defeating Santa Clara last night in penalty kicks. And here's how it sounded.
So it's up to Ellie Glenn. A miss or a save. And BYU is through to the final. Glenn got it off the post! That is it! The Broncos are eliminated! And BYU, in their first ever trip to the College Cup, is going to the championship game!
Incredible moment for BYU women's soccer. They'll play on Monday. Normally that championship game would take place on Sunday, but because of BYU's no Sunday rule, that's been pushed back a day to Monday, and they'll play the Florida State Seminoles in the national championship game for the first ever opportunity to bring home a natty in women's soccer. It was an incredible match last night where BYU, if we're being real, was the better soccer team throughout. They had double the amount of shots, and there was a shot in overtime that I thought was going in, and Santa Clara's goalkeeper, barely get a finger on it, bounces off the crossbar, and then it goes to penalty kicks. And BYU, they missed their first two penalty kicks, and then there was some great play by their goalie, Cassidy Smith, who there was a great piece earlier in the week on BYU TV about her battle back from significant injuries year after year after year. She comes back with the COVID year to be in the goal spot for BYU women's soccer. She makes a critical save on the third kick that allowed BYU to get back into it. And then, as you just heard, they were able to make three kicks in a row. And then Santa Clara misses off the post to send BYU to their first ever national championship. So we'll discuss that, of course, because it's big news. BYU athletics across the board is absolutely killing it, but we got to start things off with a little football talk here in Cougar Sports Saturday.
The leadoff. A look at the stories making headlines right now. It's time for the leadoff on Cougar Sports Saturday.
The leadoff is brought to you today by Economic Partners, Utah's premier business valuation and strategic consulting firm. If you need a business valuation, contact econpartners.com. And why do we start with football? Well, early in the week, BYU moved into a critical spot in the college football playoff rankings. They moved to number 12. And you've got to be at least 12 or higher to be considered for a New Year's Six bowl game as an at-large team. Now, we know that BYU can only make it in as an at-large team. They're not going to get the spot given to the best of the G5s because there's a team better in front of them, and that's Cincinnati. And so BYU had to break that threshold of 12 to ever be eligible to make it to a New Year's Six bowl game, which would be an enormous accomplishment for a football team that's had one of the best seasons in recent memory in football. 10-2, they just beat the Pac-12 champion, Utah, and congrats to the Utes. They defeated Oregon soundly twice in a row, and they did so last night in Las Vegas to win the Pac-12 championship. First time ever doing that during their time in that conference. And that's significant for BYU because it helps their resume. The winner of that game was going to a New Year's Six bowl game, the Rose Bowl, period. Neither of those teams were in consideration for the playoff. And so the winner of that game is off to the Rose Bowl, and one of those teams was going to help BYU's resume, and that was Utah. So for Utah to beat Oregon twice, and Oregon is currently ranked 10, they're going to fall out. BYU might move up. That's not going to matter as I kind of break down the scenarios here, but it's nice that at the end of the year, when you look at this Utah team who has played great football in the conference, and look, BYU fans, I know a lot of you don't like Utah and you don't want them to do well, but when you look at what they've overcome, and in this particular case, how they help BYU and their resume, you've got to tip your cap to Kyle Whittingham and what they were able to do winning a Pac-12 championship. They're off to the Rose Bowl. They're likely to play an Ohio State team unless Michigan gets upset and Iowa moves in and goes to the Rose Bowl. I really like that matchup. Kyle Whittingham and the Utes against Ohio State, a team that had national championship aspirations down in Pasadena. That's going to be a great bowl game, so congrats to them, and that helps BYU. BYU, though, unfortunately, because of their losses to Boise State and Baylor, but mostly Boise State, because if they beat Boise State, look, Baylor's a good football team, and we're finding out right now, as they're up 21-6, they've got the football on Oklahoma State, and their backup quarterback started the game 17-17. I mean, it's ridiculous what Jeff Grimes and Dave Aranda have been able to do at Baylor, completely turning around the program in a single season. Because they were not very good last year in that shortened season for COVID-19. This year, though, they might win a Big 12 championship, and that would really hurt BYU. You do not want that to happen if BYU is going to get into a New Year's Six bowl game. So right now, in front of BYU, you've got Michigan State at 11. Oregon at 10, they're falling out. So there's a good chance BYU is going to move up to 11 because you look at the teams behind them. Iowa's at 13. They've got to win to move up. Oklahoma, they're not moving up. They're not playing. Pittsburgh maybe could move up at 15. They're playing Wake Forest 15-16, but I don't think the winner of that ACC championship game is going to bounce BYU. And then right behind them is Utah at 17. I don't know how you put Utah in front of BYU, and it doesn't matter because Utah knows where they're going, and BYU beat Utah. So I would imagine a scenario in which BYU will end up one spot higher than Utah in the college football playoff rankings, because you got to move Utah up. They took care of Oregon twice. Though beating Oregon as soundly as they did in kind of a weird way, I think it's going to hurt them a little bit because now you're going to say Oregon's not very good. because Oregon isn't very good. You look at their offensive performance in those two games against Utah. They don't have a quarterback, and which is it's hard to believe that Oregon does not have a quarterback. But Anthony Brown, the transfer from Boston College, he was not the answer for Oregon, and Utah soundly beats them. But because they beat them so badly, maybe the committee says, "Hey, we completely overvalued Oregon." And Utah stays behind BYU. Even if Utah moves in front of BYU, it doesn't matter at the end of the day, maybe for bragging rights, but Utah knows where they're going. They're not going to take a spot away from BYU potentially as an at-large opponent. So back to where BYU is at 12. Michigan State last week in a crazy snow fest in East Lansing, they were able to hold on against Penn State. That one hurt because Michigan State stayed in front of BYU at 11. Oregon's out. Baylor's at 9, and that's the game we're watching closely right now. If Baylor wins, that's with the team that currently in the projections is the last at-large team to have a spot with Michigan State. Depending on how you want to rank that at the end of the day, probably Baylor. But if they lose, they fall out. But Baylor and Michigan State are currently getting at-large projections. So if you look at it, if Georgia defeats Alabama, they maintain the number one spot. I think you want that to happen if you're a BYU fan. Then at number two, you want Michigan to win the Big Ten championship. They stay at two. You need Cincinnati to win because you can't have them eating up an at-large spot. So they got Houston later. Sneaky good championship game between Houston and Cincinnati later today. And then you want Oklahoma State to win, and they're currently losing. If they win and they get in, then that opens up a spot because Baylor is going to fall, I believe, below BYU. Even though Baylor beat BYU, Baylor would have one more loss. I think that would be enough to get BYU ahead of Baylor, especially with Utah winning that Pac-12 championship. So the at-large teams right now, you got the winner of the ACC championship game. You got Notre Dame. Notre Dame's not going anywhere. And there's talk about them maybe, if things break their way, moving up to the playoff. Give me a break. This is classic bias for Notre Dame, in my opinion. They've beaten nobody. Their only quality game, in my opinion, was the loss against Cincinnati. And here they are. They might move up to four if things break their way. I don't think so. They don't deserve to go. So Notre Dame's an at-large team. Michigan State's an at-large team. Baylor's currently an at-large team. You need somebody to lose. Well, Notre Dame's not playing. Michigan State won last week. The only team left to help BYU is Baylor, and they're currently winning. So if Baylor chokes somehow, because they're up 21-6 midway through the third quarter, then that would really help BYU. But that's how BYU could get in to maybe the Fiesta Bowl. And so it's still out there. You got to be rooting for Oklahoma State. But it's amazing that a two-loss BYU team still has the opportunity to move up and get into a New Year's Six Bowl game. We'll take the break here on Cougar Sports Saturday. On the other side, we'll switch gears to the hardwood and talk BYU basketball. Back after this. Welcome back in. It's Cougar Sports Saturday here. KSL News Radio, Matt Biamonte riding solo. Mitch Harper spending some quality time with his family today. We wish him and his family all the best as they enjoy Mitch at home on a Saturday when normally he'd be here and we'd be arguing BYU. But today, you just get me, Matt Biamonte, and all of my opinions. So I'm actually enjoying not hearing Mitch argue with me. So I feel like everything I say today is fact. Everything I say today is truth, even though it's not. But it's a lot of fun here on Cougar Sports Saturday. You know what was not a lot of fun for BYU fans earlier in the week was the basketball team's trip down to the UCCU Center for a number of reasons, where Utah Valley University in overtime defeated BYU 72-65. And that loss was not nearly – Valley has a great chance to win the Western Athletic Conference. And at the end of the day, come March, you could look back on that loss and say, hey, that's a good loss. That's a road loss against a team that's in the tournament. We're not gonna drop you a seed for that because, good on you for going on the road and playing tough games, because Coach Pope and this staff, they've talked about this numerous times. They want to play as many quad one type games as they can. Is that loss against UVU going to be quad one? Probably not, because I don't know if UVU is going to have enough opportunities to play good teams to move up the rankings. But nevertheless, that loss pales in comparison to losing Gavin Baxter. So if you haven't heard Gavin Baxter, and this makes me sick, that whole game, I was there along with Mitch Harper. We were covering it for KSL Sports. Midway through the first half, Gavin Baxter is trailing on a fast break opportunity, and he looks to get you know, he was in traffic, so it looks like he just got bumped a little bit. Not a foul, not intentional, but after watching the replay, he gets bumped a little, and his knee buckles, his left knee, which had never been injured before because last year he had the right ACL tear. His left knee buckles, he goes down, and he's out for the year. So after the game, this is what the head coach of the BYU basketball team, Mark Pope, had to say about that injury to starting center Gavin Baxter.
What can you tell us about Gavin Baxter right now?
He tore his other ACL.
How much of an impact did that have on your team?
Well, it has a huge impact on our team. It doesn't have anything to do with tonight. Utah Valley beat us, and they earned it, and they deserve it. But going forward, it's, you know, we have to, you know, it's what you do in the course of a season. A season is a journey, and you take it, and we just got to get better.
And this journey got a whole lot harder for this BYU basketball team because as the season began, they were already dealt a blow. Gavin Baxter, let's not forget, was not the starting center when the season began. That was Richard Harward. And Richard Harward had a scary moment to start the year. He's wobbling around, and you don't know what's going on. And come to find out, there are some cardiovascular heart-related issues with Richard Harward. We may never see him again. We heard from Coach Pope earlier in the week, before the loss against Utah Valley, where he said it's wait and see with Richard Harward. They don't have much more information now than they did back then. So when I hear that, guys, if I'm being real, I don't expect to see Richard Harward this year at all. I hope I'm wrong. I want him to be healthy, and BYU desperately needs him. But I'm not going to count on him to come back because you've got to be really careful with this stuff. And credit to BYU for doing that because it'd be easy for them to say, we need Richard Harward. As soon as he's cleared, bring him back. That's not the approach. It's wait and see. So this leads us to our Cougar Sports Saturday poll of the day. Which BYU player on the roster needs to step up and replace the vacancy left by Gavin Baxter, who had that injury against UVU? Caleb Lohner, Fusini Traore, Gideon George, Atiki Eliatiki. Three of those four guys saw time against BYU. The one who didn't was Gideon George, who was out sick. There was a little cold going out amongst the team, and he didn't play, and they could have really used him. Right now, 57% of you are saying it's Caleb Lohner, and I tend to agree. Caleb Lohner has the potential. He's got the physical tools to be an NBA player. But offensively right now, something is not clicking. And as a team as a whole, it's not clicking. They're not a good three-point shooting team. And now that they don't have any size, they have to become a good three-point shooting team overnight. It's going to be a challenge. So we're going to keep talking more BYU basketball. We're going to take another break here in Cougar Sports Saturday. Dave Rose is going to join us next. He knows all about replacing centers in the middle of the season. He did it with Brandon Davies. We'll ask him about that and much more here. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
It's proudly brought to you by SRE.com.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back into the show. Things maybe turning around for Oklahoma State. They're only down 8 right now, and Baylor's backup quarterback is in the medical tent, so they might be down to their third-string quarterback. But we want to stay with basketball, and we want to bring in one of the great coaches in the history of all of BYU athletics. It's Dave Rose. And, Dave, thank you for spending some time with us.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Dave, I hate to start with this, but you recruited Gavin Baxter, and to see him go down for a third consecutive season-ending injury, just what when you were recruiting him, what did you see his ceiling to be? And it's just a bummer that we won't probably get to see that out of Gavin.
You know, it is so sad. I really can't believe, you know, when I saw him go down the other night, I thought the worst, hope for the best, but when he didn't move for, you know, close to 30 seconds, I knew it was pretty serious for him. And I just feel for him and his family. And you know, I mean, that kid, he's put so much time in. He's a kid that coming out of high school just had unbelievable potential with his size and his length. you know, his wingspan. I mean, he had just you know, unbelievable potential, and you just feel for him. You just don't, you don't know why, you know, certain things happen the way they do. But in this case, you know, for Gav, that's a really, really tough loss, and a tough loss for the Cougars too. I mean, he's becoming a really big part of this team.
Dave, I'm glad you bring that up, because he looks so good in that win on the road at Utah, and then to have that injury. And now with Richard Harwood not being available, that center position has become a real issue for this BYU team. How can they overcome the loss of their best two centers on the roster?
Well, there's a way, and Coach Pope will find it. He's, you know, Mark is really creative, and he knows what he's doing. He's got a great staff. These kids are really committed to each other, and they're committed to the team. It may take a little while to figure it out, but they'll find a way to play that is really successful for them. I think that, you know, there's I'm sure a lot of people have a lot of suggestions, but this team is so good defensively, and it's got such a togetherness towards the ball, defending the ball, that I think they'll find a way to do it. They'll have to figure out, you know, how to rebound and how to defend bigger guys. But they may play a little bit smaller. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But I do know one thing. For them to continue to be successful, they're going to have to shoot the ball a little better than they shot the other night. I mean, that was their problem. They just couldn't find the basket. And that happens, and especially on a time when things are out of balance a little bit. You've got some injuries going. You got a little bit of sickness going through your team, and they came really close to pulling that game off, which is a tough game, a cross-town rival, and you got a really experienced team playing against you, and it was a very entertaining game. I'm sure neither coach thought it was that pretty of a game, but it was fun to watch.
The circumstances are different, but this reminds me a lot about your group, Dave, when you went to the Sweet 16, because you lose Brandon Davies so late, and there wasn't a lot of size left on that roster to replace him. How did you guys overcome that back then? Is there anything that you guys did that might be helpful for BYU going forward?
Well, this reminds me a little bit of that, because this is a real team. These guys really like each other. They play for each other. They love being around each other. And I think that was the key to us to continue to win. You know, we got beat that first weekend without Brandon, and that first game, New Mexico came into our place and beat us, and then we won the Saturday night game to get a piece of the league championship. But it was a difficult time to go through that adjustment, and. You know, and then we were able to, you know, play well in the conference tournament, and then make a little run in the NCAA tournament. So, I think that this team they'll figure it out. I think they have great leadership. I think they've got great guard play. This team is really, I think it's the real strength of their team. And I think that, you know, the front line, they'll find themselves. It will probably look a lot different than what the guys thought it was going to look like in October, but. They'll find themselves, and when they do, they'll get back on track.
Dave Rose is our guest here on Cougar Sports Saturday, and you talked about the shooting woes in that Utah Valley game, low 30s. Both teams were low 30s, but it's been several games now where BYU shooting has not been what you've come to expect from Coach Pope's teams in his 3 years. And you look at the shooting percentage of these guys. Alex Barcelo shooting it great. He's nearly 50% from three. Spencer Johnson is the only other player shooting it above 40% from three. How can this BYU offense generate better looks and maybe more quality looks for some of these shooters?
Well, you know, everybody's, I'm sure, got their own idea of what they can do and, you know, change the offense or do this or that. What they really need to do is get their big guys scoring the ball consistently, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. If they can get baskets out of their front line consistently, then the guard play, it's going to, you know, lighten up a little bit from the, you know, the defense the other night, especially on Alex, was really, I thought Utah Valley did a really good job and made it really difficult on him. And that won't be as easily done if we can get some scoring from our front line, some consistent scoring. And I think that, you know, we've had our young guys scoring up there on some games and in other games not. They need to, you know, get in a position where they just consistently score the ball on the front line. And then I think, the percentages will all, you know, open up pretty well.
One of those guys, Dave, who I think will see an expanded role is Caleb Lohner. And offensively, it's just been a struggle for Caleb this year. He's 0-9 from downtown and doesn't look to be willing to attack the basket and get more involved offensively. What are you seeing from Caleb's game in his sophomore year?
Well, he looks a little timid to me. He looks, as far as offensively, he doesn't play timid at all. I mean, he is an unbelievable defender, a great rebounder, and really, really, you know, helps the team in that way. But he's going to have to start scoring the ball now that, you know, we've got some injuries and things that we got to play around. But I think that, you know, Caleb's got great basketball instincts. I think he got great size, and you know, he's just needs to be a little bit more aggressive, you know, around the basket. I think he needs to get a little more confidence. You know, this was years and years ago, but when I was recruiting him and we'd go out and watch him play. I mean, we thought he was a really good shooter. He in high school he was really consistent from the perimeter, and I think he's just maybe going through a little bit of a slump, maybe some confidence issues. But I think that that will really help when Caleb finds his perimeter shot and his ability to really finish at the rim.
Dave Rose has been our guest here on Cougar Sports Saturday. Last thing for you, Dave. We've talked a little bit about the injury and what can BYU do better. It's easy to forget after that loss and the injury that this team, that was their first loss. Like, this is still a good basketball team that's probably going to be ranked even after the loss. So what's impressed you the most about this group so far?
Well, what I think is really impressive is how together they are as a group and how unselfish they seem. There was a stretch there when I thought Alex just shoot the ball every time he got it. I mean, he didn't miss anything. And it seemed like he was really trying to get the rest of the team involved. And then when they really needed a basket here and there, you know, he would take it and get it. I think other teams have found a way now that they're going to try to guard him and go through that. And so now the Cougs got to adjust to that and see how they're going to, continue to score. But the one thing I think you got to remember, this team, I really believe, is going to be a great defensive team. I think it is a good, really good defensive team now, and I think it continues to get better. And I think that's what Mark is kind of, you know, building, you know, this team around is how these young post players can really help them defensively. You know, how the experienced guards can score for them in tight spots. And then, you know, the defensive side of the ball, I think, is where he really puts a huge emphasis. So we might be a little frustrated at times with offense, but we're looking to, try and figure out how we're going to stop the other team from scoring and score more points that way.
They have a chance to get back in the winning column a little later today against Missouri State. He's Dave Rose. Dave, we love having you on the program. Thanks for joining, man.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Good luck to you.
Thank you. All right, we'll take the break here on Cougar Sports Saturday. We'll wrap up this shortened edition of Cougar Sports Saturday on the other side as we get ready for BYU and Missouri State pregame. We'll begin at 1 p.m. right here on KSL News Radio. Back in just a moment.
It's proudly brought to you by SRE.com.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three.
Year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
On your legacy home at BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back into Cougar Sports Saturday here, a shortened version of Cougar Sports Saturday, but it's been a good one today, and thanks to Dave Rose for coming on and talking a little BYU basketball with us. Just got a couple texts here from Texter 1865. We BYU fans want Utah to do well every single week except for when we're not playing them. That's certainly true this year. I know a lot of BYU fans that would argue otherwise, that they never want them to do well, but in this particular season, Utah having won the Pac-12 championship, that's a good thing, as BYU is still in the hunt for a New Year's Six football game, and Baylor is hanging on by a thread right now against Oklahoma State. They're up 21-13. Let's shift gears here in the Cougar Sports Saturday. Hurry up as we kind of take a look around what else is happening in the world of BYU sports and a few other BYU news and related notes. Let's start things off with women's soccer, which we talked about earlier. They are advancing to their first ever national championship game after defeating the Broncos of Santa Clara last night in penalty kicks. It was a wild one in the first overtime. BYU had a chance to win it. In the 93rd minute, Kendall Peterson fired a rocket, which the Santa Clara goalie barely got her fingertips on. It bounced off the crossbar. Then in the second overtime, Santa Clara had an amazing opportunity to score, and there was a fantastic defensive play made by Lavina Vaca, who headed away a shot that Cassidy Smith, the goalkeeper, was not going to be able to get to. So Johnny on the spot by Vaca to make that save, which forced it to penalty kicks, and then BYU, they missed their first two, and then they were able to make the next three, and on that final penalty kick by Santa Clara, it bounced off the goalpost, and here we go. BYU is on to the national championship game in soccer. They will take on Florida State Monday night. Incredible moment for the Brigham Young Cougar soccer program and coach Jennifer Rockwood. Incredible to see. So that's been great. Another team still in the hunt for a national championship is the women's volleyball team. They swept Boise State, and they awaited the winner of the Utah Valley University of Utah opening round volleyball match, and it was the Utes who took down the Wolverines. So tonight, 7 p.m., it'll be the Cougars and the Utes in a rematch. BYU won that earlier in the year to see if BYU can advance into the Sweet 16 in women's volleyball. Shifting gears to the NFL, Taysom Hill got his first start of the season Thursday night in a loss against the Cowboys, and really unfortunate for Taysom Hill that the injury bug is just continuing to get the best of him this season. He had that concussion, then he had the foot injury, and now he's got another injury. It's the mallet finger. What is the mallet finger? This is like a new football injury. It's the same injury Russell Wilson had earlier, and I think it was a Sunday night game. Might have been a Monday night game where his finger looked messed up. Well, the tendon detaches from the rest of the finger, and you can't move the top piece of your feet. That's now happened to Taysom Hill. So in that Thursday night game, he was 5-7 to start. He ran the football great. After the injury, it happened on a throw where, on the follow-through, he hit the forearm of a Cowboys defensive player. After that injury, 14 of 34 for 41%, two touchdowns, four interceptions. It was clear to me that that injury affected Taysom. You've heard some people say, look, this is what we know, that he's not a franchise quarterback. There's nothing you can take from that football game because of the injury and because of there's no playmakers. The Saints have no playmakers. So Taysom Hill unable to get anything done. He's going to fight through the injury, but it's going to be hard for Taysom. And then another surprising note from the week. Out of nowhere, former BYU coach Bronco Mendenhall stepping down as the Virginia head coach. He did not get fired. He did it on his own accord. He said he had some moment of clarity earlier in the week where it was time for Bronco to step down from college football. Really crazy story out of Virginia. But Bronco Mendenhall stepping away from college football. And we need to step away one more time here. It's Cougar Sports Saturday brought to you. Welcome back into Cougar Sports Saturday as we get ready for Brigham Young basketball in just a few moments as they are on the road playing Missouri State out of the Missouri Valley Conference. This conference has been really dominated by Loyola Chicago of late. And if that name might ring a bell, Sister Jean, deep runs into the tournament. That's Loyola Chicago out of this conference. Missouri State, 4-3 on the year. They just lost their most recent game, 79-74 in overtime against Illinois State. This, in my opinion, this is a great opportunity for this BYU basketball team to bond as a team, to figure some things out with Gavin Baxter done for the season. He tore his left ACL, so I still think about that, even though it happened a few games. It just makes me sick for Gavin Baxter, that all the hard work. Because as fans, I don't know if you can really appreciate how much hard work is put in by these athletes to play at a high level. And then on top of that, you've got to rehab twice. And he burned a redshirt year the first year of the Mark Pope era. He had the labrum. He fought back. He doesn't play in that Gonzaga game. Maybe they don't win. And that's been the signature moment in the Mark Pope era so far, in my opinion, is that home win right before the pandemic began against Gonzaga. So basketball needs to figure out a way to replace the value that Gavin Baxter brought. And it's going to be interesting to see who gets the start tonight. Caleb Lohner, he needs to play better offensively. He's been great on the defensive end. He pulled down 11 rebounds against UVU, but he's got to make a presence offensively. Is it him? Is it Gideon George? Is he going to play? We're all going to find out momentarily. So it's been Cougar Sports Saturday, brought to you by KSLSports.com. By SRE.com.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.